This hints at the fact that it would be the state that they would bring into being on the eve of Shabbat that would serve as a wondrous sign of God's providence in the world, made manifest through the story of his people. Exactly what the Shabbat is very much about. Welcome to Jerusalem 365, episode 197, The Independence of Israel and the Sabbath of Israel. I'm Meir Soloveitchik. What date marks Israeli Independence Day? The answer, obviously, is 5 Iyar, or May 14th. That is when it is marked in Israel and in Jewish communities around the world. But if you look at the actual text of the Declaration of Independence, one could make a case that this date is a day too early. And this point reveals a covenantal element in the way that the Declaration of Israeli Independence was scheduled and planned, one which is a metaphor for the miracles of our time. In order to ponder the significance of the date on which the Declaration of Independence of Israel is to be marked, let us return to the discussion of the draft of the Declaration, debated in a meeting at Ben-Gurion's home on May 13, 1948. The draft being discussed had one implicit reference to God as the Tzur Yisrael, the Rock of Israel. In a series of testimonies available through interviews conducted by Eliezer Vartman with signers of the Declaration, we have an account by one participant in this discussion, the thoroughly secular Aaron Zisling, who described how he opposed that reference being included in the Declaration, and how he debated the matter with others at the meeting, including with Rabbi Yehuda Leib Fishman, who ended up taking on the Hebraic name Maimon. Here is what Aaron Zisling said, quote, "I objected to the inclusion of the expression Tzur Yisrael, Rock of Israel, which lent a religious tone to the document. I did not intend to deny the part religion had played in the history of our people. Nor did I object if any person wanted to give personal expression to his religious sentiments, and therefore I didn't take offense when Rabbi Maimon recited the Shehecheyanu benediction when he signed the scroll. He did this according to his conscience, but I did object to the fact that myself and others would be associated with a religious declaration, even if it were ornately worded." End quote. Meanwhile, Rabbi Fishman Maimon, the man who would, as we will later discuss, say the blessing known as Shehecheyanu at the actual Declaration of Independence, argued in the meeting the day before at Ben-Gurion's home that he thought the phrase Rock of Israel was insufficient. His description of the day describes how Ben-Gurion brought him from Jerusalem to Tel Aviv for the meeting. Quote, "In Jerusalem, a young man sought me out and told me, 'Rabbi Fishman, we have an airplane waiting for you. Please come immediately.' I replied, 'I cannot come immediately. I must get my talit, tefillin, and other items.' During the trip on the Piper Cub, my feet sometimes floated above my head, and my talit and tefillin were strapped to my body. We traveled thus for almost 3 hours until we landed at airport close to Yafo. I was met there by some representatives of the Jewish agency and taken to the home of Mr. Ben-Gurion. A meeting was in process, and 5 or 6 people were present. I asked the purpose of the meeting. Mr. Ben-Gurion told me that they wanted to proclaim the State of Israel the following day. I called Ben-Gurion aside and asked, 'Have you got another airplane beside the one which brought me here?' A committee was selected to draw up the wording of the proclamation, and I was made a member. When the draft was completed, I insisted on an allusion to God's help, and a compromise was finally reached on the words, Rock of Israel." As Martin Kramer, as well as Neil Rogachevsky and Dov Ziegler describe, Rabbi Fishman Maimon had wanted a more expansive phrase in the declaration, a reference to God as Tzur Yisrael v'Goalo, Rock of Israel and its Redeemer. He was supported, as they tell us, by another member of the Zionist leadership at the meeting, Chaim Moshe Shapira, who sought an even more explicit invocation of the divine. Ben-Gurion, as Kramer writes, insisted on compromising with the term that was already in the text. Ben-Gurion said, quote, "I am a person like Zisling, but I can sign this passage wholeheartedly. I understand what the Rock of Israel is, and the proposed compromise is a fair one of Jewish friendship. As we stand on the brink of independence, we have to be careful not to sharpen disagreements." End quote. Thus, Tzur Yisrael, Rock of Israel, is what remained. And as we shall see in our next episode, there were other invocations of the divine at the actual Declaration of Israeli Independence. But there is no fully explicit reference to God in the text of the Declaration. And yet, the entire scheduling of the Declaration on 5 Iyar, May 14th, in the afternoon, and the way in which it is marked today is, in a certain sense, a testament to faith, to traditional Jewish belief. The fascinating fact is that by the very terms of the text of the Israeli Declaration of Independence, the Jewish state was not supposed to begin its existence until May 15th, 6 ER, Friday night at midnight, when the British mandate would officially end. Thus, the declaration text declared, quote, "We declare that with effect from the moment of the termination of the mandate being tonight, the eve of Sabbath, the 6th ER, 5708, 15th May 1948, until the establishment of the elected, regular authorities of the state in accordance with the Constitution, which shall be adopted by the elected Constituent Assembly not later than the 1st October 1948, the People's Council shall act as a provisional council of state. And its executive organ, the People's Administration, shall be the provisional government of the Jewish state, to be called Israel." End quote. In other words, according to the very text of the declaration, the state would come into being Friday night midnight, May 15th, which would be the 6th of Iyar, not the 5th. And the truth is that had it been any other day, the Zionist leadership would have waited until midnight to declare independence. However, the ceremony was moved up to 5 ER in the afternoon, May 14th in the afternoon, because that day was a Friday. Waiting till midnight would have meant having the declaration ceremony on the Sabbath. That is why Ben-Gurion was planning for a Friday afternoon ceremony in order to not gather on the Sabbath, while the United States waited till midnight to recognize the State of Israel. Thus, technically, one could argue that Israeli independence should be marked on the 6th of Iyar, May 15th. And yet, it is not marked this way. The declaration that was moved up to honor Shabbat is celebrated on the day to which it was moved, 5 Iyar. When it comes to the international recognition, it was the 15th, 6th Iyar, when Israel was considered to have begun. But covenantally, Israeli independence is remembered as beginning on the 5th. In this way, there is an interesting parallel to American independence. As far as the Continental Congress was concerned, American independence began on July 2, 1776, when its members voted to affirm the Lee Resolution, declaring that the colonies no longer had any duty to the Crown of Britain. Thus, immediately after that vote, John Adams wrote to his wife Abigail, quote, "But the day is past. The second day of July 1776 will be the most memorable epoch in the history of America. I am apt to believe that it will be celebrated by succeeding generations as the great anniversary festival. It ought to be commemorated as the day of deliverance, by solemn acts of devotion to God Almighty. It ought to be solemnized with pomp and parade, with shows, games, sports, guns, bells, bonfires, and illuminations, from one end of this continent to the other, from this time forward forevermore." End quote. But of course, though, as a matter of law as seen by the Congress, it was July 2nd that was central, Americans felt emotionally connected to a different date, July 4th. The date written on the Declaration of Independence, because it was on that date that the Congress affirmed the soaring principles at the heart of the American story, that all men are created equal, endowed by their Creator with inalienable rights. Similarly, in modern Israel, the state was supposed to technically begin on one date, but Jews were spiritually and emotionally bound up with the other date, the ceremonial announcement that took place implicitly as an act of honoring the Shabbat. This is fascinating. In the book of Exodus, we are informed that the Sabbath is a commemoration of creation. For in 6 days the Almighty made heaven and earth, and on the seventh he rested. But in Deuteronomy, we are given another reason for Shabbat. V'zacharta ki ever hayita b'Mitzrayim, and you will remember how you were slaves in Egypt, and God redeemed you with a very mighty hand and an outstretched arm. How does observing the Sabbath recall the Exodus? It is Nachmanides who argued that the faith sustained by the Sabbath, faith in God as providential ruler of creation, is revealed in the wonders of Jewish history. And when one believes in the God that created the world and feels in the sanctity of the Sabbath the presence of this Creator, one sees that very same providence reflected in the tale of the Jewish people. Thus, we can see a striking symbolism in the fact that even as those gathered at Ben-Gurion's house on May 13th were debating about how explicitly to mention God, they nevertheless made sure to honor the Sabbath in the scheduling of the declaration. This hints at the fact that it would be the state that they would bring into being on the eve of Shabbat that would serve as a wondrous sign of God's providence in the world, made manifest through the story of his people. Exactly what the Shabbat is very much about. It is this declaration, this miraculous moment, this sign of the divine in history that we will describe in our episode to come. But it is not only that episode, but so many others that will go on to tell the story of this state, of its capital, Jerusalem, and of the miracles of our age. This is Meir Soloveitchik. Looking forward to learning together next week. Wishing you a Shabbat Shalom. Signing off.